Hello and welcome back to the Villa Filler podcast. I'm here as always with my good friend Dan Wiseman. Dan, I mean, we've put it off for as long as possible, but we kind of have to talk about the Chelsea game just for a little bit. We have to, you know, five minutes on the Chelsea game, I think, is probably fair. How are you feeling, mate? Obviously, we're sort of a few days after that. We're out of the FA Cup. It's just a bit crap, isn't it, mate? It's just, yeah.
Yeah, it is the I kind of worked out, so I was obviously we got to the fourth round this year. Only really been getting to the third round for the last few years. So if we get to the third round last year, fourth round this year, by that logic, by I don't know, 2029, maybe we're gonna win the FA Cup. So I don't know if there's any punters out there, but that's my kind of logic, is that maybe we're just going to have to go through this really grueling process of going through one. I mean, look, we kind of got halfway into the next round because we got into a replay. So, you know, maybe we're kind of speeding the process up there. But it's just frustrating, mate. It's frustrating. You know, you kind of, I think we all got a little bit excited because we haven't been treated to a cup run in so long. And you kind of want to experience that. And, you know, it's so difficult to, you know, you have to accept that for, well, 80% of the teams in this league, you're not going to get a shot at the Premier League. So these things are always exciting. But no, I'm okay. All things considered, mate, I'm not too bad. It's good to have you back at full fitness as well, mate. Obviously,
yeah.
I think you're right. In the last podcast, you weren't feeling too great. And then I think after the Chelsea game, you were kind of feeling it a little bit as well, mate. So good to be back. Good to be back.
Absolutely, mate. It's always good to be back. It's always good to be back. Yeah, I didn't realise how unwell I was until I was sort of in the edit. And, like, it just kicked the shit out of me. Like, I've just had a terrible cold. And then, to make it even worse, on the Sunday, we decided to go for a hike. And I think that's just, that sort of ended me. But less about my health and well-being. And more about the Villa, because there was something pre-game that I mean, I'm sure you saw the press conference, mate. There was like we saw a different side to Unai Emery in this press conference, mate. I don't know what you thought of the sort of the question that was posed to him about like the aggro of a replay and all of this kind of stuff. And he basically says, well, listen, the Premier League's the priority, but, you know, we want to win every single game. And if we are going to go out in the semi-final of the cup, we may as well go out in the third round. Like, we want to win every game. We're not sort of taking this for granted. And I've not seen him that animated since his Arsenal days. It really felt like, I don't want to say that there's pressure on him or anything like that, because I don't think there is. But I think it's fair to say that we're at a point now with this squad where we've overachieved. And I don't think that's, I mean, personally, I don't think that's a controversial thing to say. I'm absolutely positive that plenty of Villa fans will disagree and will think that, you know, we're capable of winning the league and all that. Good on you guys. But I think this month has been a reality check. And I think, you know, not only have you got to deal with the sort of expectation that we keep banging on about, we've had anywhere from like, but we've had about eight, you know, injuries, not all at once, but sort of throughout the course of the season. And shout out to Tyrone, posted an injury update today. Good to see he's doing all good. He's out in Philly again. That facility where he's sort of doing his rehabs in Philly. My boy Raheem, who used to play on the Union, was actually he was at the Union when Tyrone was first doing rehab for his first big injury when he was at Bournemouth years back. And he actually got to know him, which is quite like the like sort of the loose string effect, I guess it's called. You kind of meet people and cross over and all that kind of stuff. So shout out Raheem, shout out Tyrone. But yeah, I thought I just kind of think that we are in a battle now to sort of get that fourth place. And I don't think, you know, I think that's the aim, really. I don't think, you know, it's like we're not in a title race, all this kind of stuff. And I also don't think it's going to be easy, hence why I called it a battle. So, like, there's part of me that's like, I'm not glad we've gone out of the cup by any means, but I kind of take it, you know, reading it between the lines for what Unai said, I think he'd rather it have happened when it did than as sort of run the gauntlet and then, you know, sort of trip at the final hurdle. But I don't know, man. I envisage the title of this podcast, this YouTube video, being, are Aston Villa actually this good? And I think ultimately that's the question that it sort of, I'm boiling it down to, because expectations have been raised, and we've got, I feel like there was a period of time where you and I were both like, guys, I don't know, how long will this last? And then we finally let go and enjoyed it, and we're like, yeah, we're in a title race, we're in this, we're in that. And now, as I'm sort of picking up from you know, the nods and everything, I feel like we're sort of back in that initial place where we're kind of like, this could go wrong. And like, again, you know, like we had, so, you know, we like, shout out to all the guys in the comments as well, whether it's good or bad, you know, like, we love you guys, every single one of you. But, you know, we've had a fair amount of comments from people going, you guys are just too pessimistic, which I think is the furthest thing from the truth. I just think that we're sort of probably the most realistic Villa podcast in terms of ambitions.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree. I'm certainly not a pessimist about this Unai Emery team. I just think if we are playing the golf course of Unai Emery, what is par?
Yeah.
We don't know that. We have been eagling every single hole up to this point. And we've kind of got to this point where, because there has been this very steep upwards trajectory that this club has been on ever since Unai Emery walked through the door, and there's a real nice kind of full circle moment to the game that we're about to preview in Manchester United, because obviously that was his first game, Manchester United at home, and the way that we played that game, the way that we got that win, very much set the tone for the rest of the Unai Emery era. And now we're kind of at this point where we're not looking the side that we certainly have looked. The game against Chelsea was, I know the scoreline was the same as the Newcastle game, but I think that game against Chelsea was the first time since Unai came in, and it kind of felt like watching Villa of old, in that a top team came to Villa Park, or, you know, one of the traditional big six came to Villa Park, and we just could not lay a glove on them. Yeah. No matter what we did, no matter who we tried, we just could not and did not lay a finger on them. And I know we got that late Moussa Diaby goal and everything like that, but I think it also, another trend, and again, like, I know I'm doing nothing to appease the people in the comments that do think that you and I lean towards the negative side, but I think we're starting to see that in both of those home defeats, in Newcastle and Chelsea, and I do not want to forget that I'm, you know, conveniently in between those two games was a 5-0 away win. I'm not glossing over that at all. But I think we need to face the fact it was against Sheffield United, who are statistically, they have the worst defence in Premier League history and are comfortably the worst team in the league. And so whilst you can never, ever, you know, look too far into a 5-0 away win, you have to take that for what it is, which is an incredible result. But in both the Newcastle game and in the Chelsea game, I personally don't feel that Unai covered himself in glory. I don't think the lineup was quite right for the Newcastle game. And in this game, I saw the impact that substitutes had on that game. When we brought new faces on, when we brought, I think, Tielemans and McGinn came on, you know, we brought on Diaby, Ramsey, and I thought both of those guys had a real impact on the game. Mm-hmm. And it just left me, why did we wait so long? Why did we wait so long to make those changes? It felt like that game, pretty much after 50 minutes, was like, yeah, this isn't going. And particularly as soon as we went 3 goals down, I just felt like we waited too long to make changes. And then when they came on, I felt like they had a really positive impact on the game. I felt like we enjoyed some good spells, and obviously Moussa ends up getting himself on the score sheet. But yeah, it's by no means a point where I'm not particularly downbeat about where the club are going or anything like that. I think defeats are to be expected. I really don't think we can get too down with them. But I think our message through the whole thing, mate, I think if I could summarize it, is don't get too high with the highs and don't get too low with the lows, because it's very easy to get caught up in the narrative that was building pre-Christmas, where it was like, are Villa really in the title race? And I think if you got yourself too caught up in all that, you'll find this run of results particularly difficult. And I also think that if you were never, ever getting excited by any of that, then you missed out on what was one of the most exciting periods we've had to be a Villa fan in our lifetime.
Right.
But I think the reality is for Villa is that it sits somewhere in between. And I think that's kind of where Villa's league form will ultimately kind of settle, is that, no, we're probably not going to be a title-chasing club. We might not be in and around the top four. We might be in that fifth, sixth, seventh conversation. But that's absolutely fine. That's great. That's amazing. Year-on-year progression. If we fall out of the Champions League and qualify for the Europa League this season, that is a fantastic season to build on the Conference League, to go straight into the Europa League this season after. It's wonderful progression. And in my opinion, the best way that you can play that pathway in European football is to build your way through the competitions. And that's still how I feel, mate. It's a shame we're not... I know I don't want to talk too much about league form, because we're obviously here after an FA Cup game. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those where I think we'd have liked to have gotten further in the competitions. I think Unai has particularly struggled in competitions since he's been a Villa manager. He's the best results definitely come in the league. So there maybe is a decent bank of evidence to look at there and to wonder why we do seem to struggle a little bit more in cup competitions. But I also have full faith in the gaffer that he will figure that out for next season.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. Like, he's just got us overperforming to such an insane level. So, you know, when these kind of results do come, it feels, it's almost hard to take, because, you know, you kind of forget that it's been a year, right? It's been a year of Unai Emery, and you almost forget the trenches of, you know, Steven Gerrard and all that. That all feels like a lifetime ago. So, yeah, it's one of them, man. And I think, like, you know, as you mentioned, mate, it does feel a bit full circle with this Manchester United game. You know, they currently sit 8 points behind us in the league, so a defeat would give them a very good chance to make up some ground, try and get themselves back in that top four that, you know, they've been out of for so long. And when you sort of look at it, you know, they've won their last two league games. Garnacho scoring goals. Hoyland's found the back of the net, scored in front of his lookalike, Sean Millis. Kobbie Mainoo is like the sort of second coming of Paul Scholes. It's all going on at Manchester United. And I know you can kind of, you can also look at the sort of negative side of things as well with them, with, you know, everything that's going on with Marcus Rashford. And then there's the whole Jadon Sancho thing, which, you know, you feel like still sort of, that's a cloud that's still looming over Erik ten Hag's head. And especially with, you know, Rashford behaving as he is, you know, he's not going to be able to escape those sort of Sancho comparisons, really, with how he was treated and how he behaved. But, like, again, you know, I just kind of come back to this, mate, and I just think, like, listen, United aren't in the worst form at all, but these teams come up to Villa Park when, you know, they're in turbulent times, and, you know, players are in nightclubs in Dublin or wherever they are, and this is the game that gets them on the straight and narrow, isn't it, mate? This is the game. And I'm feeling maybe quite pessimistic, so shout out to you guys in the comments. This worries me. This just worries me.
It goes one of two ways, this, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It goes one of two ways. I think we either put in a fantastic, spirited, battling performance and we silence the critics and we put this right, or we kind of slump to another result like we did against Chelsea and Newcastle. I don't really feel like there's an in-between, to be honest with you. I can't see this game ending as a draw. There's a sneak preview into maybe our predictions at the end of it. But I think this really does swing one or two ways. The one thing that I think is starting to creep into this is the defensive record that we have over the last few games, and we're conceding more goals at home than we have done pretty much all season. So we won 15 home Premier League games in a row between March last year and December of this year. Since then, we've only won one of our last three. And in those three games, we've conceded one fewer goal with six than we did in the entire of the 15-game winning run where we conceded seven. And so there is particular emphasis on the defense, but that is where I'm going to inject some good news, mate, because Pau Torres and Luca Dean are back on the grass, and it looks like they're back in the frame to be selected for this game, which is colossal. It could not have come at a better time. It could not have come at a better time. I think we have seen enough of the Moreno, Longley, Carlos, Cash backline to know that I think we could really do with switching that up. But the problem we've had is that we've not had the ability to do so because we've had all of these injuries. And so those guys coming back is absolutely massive. And make no mistake, as you rightly pointed out, mate, they will have that work cut out. That United attack is slowly starting to grind into gear, and it looks like the train is really starting to pull away from the station. There's a particularly impressive stat. Over the last five games, United have scored 13 goals, converting exactly 20% of their shots over those five games. In the five before that run, they had a conversion rate of 3%, which is absolutely crazy. They got two goals from 73 attempts, and since then have got 13 goals from 65 attempts. So you can see that that attack is really starting to click. So it's not like, you know, Dean and Pau Torres are going to come into this and automatically things are going to be okay. We're going to have to make sure that those boys, if they do play, that they're on it right from the get-go. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on that left-back scenario, mate, because it kind of felt like the pendulum really swung in Moreno's favour last season, particularly. We kind of got to the summer window. I think everyone was almost expecting Luca Dean to be off. It looked like his time at the club was all but over. And you fast forward a year on from Moreno's signing, and all of a sudden we're clamouring for Luca Dean to come back. It's a really interesting, neither left-back can seemingly sustain their spot in the starting 11 for more than a few months, really.
I think, first of all, to sort of put my cards on the table, I'm pretty sure Moreno is probably one of my favourite players in this Villa team. I think he's a really skillful player, good value for a goal. There's just something about him that I really like. But the one thing that he doesn't possess, which Luca Dean does, and I think it just comes from Premier League experience, is that directness. Luca Dean isn't always going to get to the byline. He's not going to do all of these sort of mazy dribbles that you see Moreno do when he sort of comes inside. And he is probably the safer option. And I think that's why we just seem to look more functional mm-hmm. with him. And I think, you know, the one thing that I've noticed so many times this season is Moreno will try and bomb on, but nobody's ever looking to sort of give him the ball when he's in all that space down the left-hand side. Now, I don't know whether that is just because Unai would, you know, we like to keep the ball, we like to take, you know, not take as many risks, we want to bait the press, all of these things that we know and have come to appreciate. But I can't help but feel like there's been instances where it's like you have to play Moreno in and then, you know, run it to the byline or do something, change it up a little bit. But I sort of look at the back four as a whole, and I know that, you know, we don't have Esri, which is obviously going to be a massive miss. But the back four that was responsible for, you know, the 1-0 wins against City and Arsenal back-to-back, the shutouts, it reads from right to left, Konsa, Carlos, Pau, Dean. And I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, we come up against second and third, respectively, in the league. And, you know, we're able to sort of, you know, I don't want to say commit a heist because I think we have very good value for it. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, backs against the wall, clean sheet at home against massive, it's so uncharacteristically Villa, as we've just sort of said with the whole Chelsea thing. And obviously we're not going to get that exact back four because Konsa is going to be injured. But we're one step closer, and it can't be understated how important Pau Torres is to this team. It cannot be understated. I, you know, I think sort of, you know, you look at the back four that played the other night and individually, they're all fine. I think, you know, I'm really starting to want a replacement for Matty Cash. I do think he is the weak link in the team, and that's obviously just something that we've got to sort of stomach right now. But I think some of the criticism that Diego and Longley have come in for in recent weeks has been, you know, dare I say, you know, not really due. I think they've been okay.
I agree.
But again, like it comes to the thing that I feel like we're saying every week now. Like, Longley is a good defender, but Pau Torres is a great one. And the difference is when Longley tries, you know, Longley can sort of just about hit a 30-yarder, whereas, you know, Pau Torres, it's like he's getting a 5-iron out, mate. He's pinging it at like 100 yards, 120 yards, easy. It's like breaking a sweat. And that ultimately is the difference. And I think there's so many times where, you know, for Villa to actually be direct, Pau Torres has to play because nobody possesses that range of passing. And I'm sick to death, by the way, of Emi Martinez kicking the ball up to Diaby or Bailey, getting marked by a man mountain. That needs to stop as well.
Mate, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, like, Pau Torres is one of the best ball-playing centre-halves in Europe. I don't think that's controversial because he was before he came to Villa and he's been fantastic since he joined. So, like, I think that's fair to say. And it's no slight on Clement Longley that he can't do what Pau Torres can because not many other centre-halves in Europe can. And so there is going to be an expected drop-off. Of course there's going to be. You're right, I think the criticism is harsh. I think Pau Torres is fantastic. And obviously there's going to be a drop-off to Clement Longley, but I've been consistent through the season in saying that I think Longley has been very good, considering he's on loan, considering he's been bit apart. I think he's played very well. And Carlos has been fantastic. And I think we've very quickly forgotten just how serious an injury he's just come back from. You know, there were, myself included, was quite skeptical as to the levels that he'd hit after he came back, but it looks like he's scarcely missed a beat. And so I think the midfield is where, honestly, I kind of feel that this Villa team is struggling the most. I just don't feel like there's the protection there. I feel like all of a sudden we're really, really easy to play through. I feel like Bubas maybe gone off the boil a little bit. But, you know, I honestly find it really hard to single out individual names, to be honest with you, mate. I think it's difficult to kind of go, yeah, that's the reason we're playing back. Like, it feels like such a collective effort. There's been such a kind of a feel that this Villa team is a real unit and a very well-drilled unit under Unai, which has meant that when you kind of get to this stage, it's very difficult to identify the root cause. I don't really know what the solution is to this problem. I'm kind of glad that I'm not Unai Emery at Body More this week, because to tell you the truth, I don't know what I would do. I think, honestly, and this is why I'm pinning so much hope on Torres and Digne, I think, honestly, you've kind of just got to hope that you get everybody back fit and it's plug and play and things kind of put themselves right, because tactically we've not changed. We've not tried anything new, nor do I think that we should try anything new. This is a tried and tested Villa formation that we know works. But there's just something that's not allowing it to function like it once was. And I think you've just got to hope that it's because we're not playing our favourite personnel.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, mate. I think you're spot on. We've just got to hope that they can come back in and it's business as usual. But that is easier said than done.
Indeed.
I'm going to have to ask for a score prediction, mate. I'm going to have to. And I've gone first quite often recently, so I'm putting it straight on you, mate.
Gonna do that. I think there's going to be a lot of goals in this game. I don't know if I've ever sat on this podcast and predicted Villa to lose.
I don't think so.
I just can't sit here and do that. So I'm going to say that we win this game. Yeah, let's go. It's going to be a real barn burner. There's going to be a lot of goals. It's going to be very antsy, but Aston Villa are going to win this game 3-2.
3-2. Oh my days. 3-2. I'm going to go 2-1. I don't fancy us to score a lot, and I just hope that we can keep the goals conceded to a minimum. That's where I'm at with that. But guys, let us know your thoughts in the comment section down below. Dan and I would love to know. score predictions, just in general, how we're doing, who your favourite player is, let us know. Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. If you're on Apple or Spotify, follow, download, share with your friends. It all helps more than you guys could imagine. So yeah, like, comment, subscribe, and up the Villa.